So how does Power Apps actually work though? Because we mentioned it's a low code platform. So that really implies that there is some kind of code involved in what's going on behind the scenes here. So when we talk about it being a low code platform, obviously we just mean it significantly reduces the amount of code needed compared to traditional programming methods. And the low code capability that we can do in Power Apps is done through something called PowerFX. And that is the Power Apps Canvas app specific declarative language. And it's based off of Microsoft Excel, actually. So I've always said ever since I first started using Power Apps that really it's kind of like if Excel and PowerPoint had a baby, that would be Power Apps. The user experience and being able to build out the UI of the app itself is very PowerPoint-like. It's really that simple. You drag and drop your controls or your shapes on there and you can seamlessly build out the UI. But the logic layer is very, very much Excel-like, kind of as you're seeing here. Some functions that you've probably used in Excel formulas, like the write and the find and the substitute and length, all of those translate and can be used in Power Apps itself. So it's really, if you know Excel, it's that same kind of declarative-based language that we can use here in Power Apps. So the model for that, since it is based on Excel, means it's an imperative model that we use for this, or traditional app is imperative, this is declarative. So it is a little bit different model if you come from a traditional development background. But if, like I said, if you use Excel, it's really easy to use. And one of the things you'll see is being declarative, you're able to type in a formula and it's automatically evaluating that formula here as soon as I type something into that input. So the screenshot's cool, but it's probably best to kind of show you in action. What can Power Apps do? I want to walk through how easy it is to create an application from scratch and how PowerFX works. So let's switch over to Power Apps here. Now, Power Apps is part of Microsoft 365. So you can go to make.powerapps.com to get to that, or click the Power Apps icon in the ribbon there. So once you get there, you'll be taken to the homepage of the Power Apps portal. And one of the easiest ways to get started, just to see how fast you can build an app in Power Apps, is to use one of these start from data options. So as you can see, we're able to actually point this to where the data is stored that we want to create an app from. And it will actually create a fully functioning application for us based off of the data that we say we want to use. So in my case, I have an Excel sheet, and that's what I want to base this off of. So I'm going to click this Start from Data Excel, and it's going to pop open a dialog here where I can choose the Excel spreadsheet that has the data that I want to use inside of my application. So it can work on OneDrive or SharePoint, and it can find Excel files on there. And one of the ones I have is this flooring inventory. So I want to be able to see the different flooring types I have and check the status and how many are in inventory. Now, I could have multiple tables in Excel. So it's going to list all the tables that I have available, and I can choose the one that I want to connect to. And just click Connect, and it's going to do all of its magic behind the scenes and create a three-screen application for me to see all of the flooring details, to view it, and to add and edit flooring details. So you see, all I did was say, pull data from this Excel sheet. And if I play the app here, we see now I can see all the different types of flooring that we have. I can click on one of these. I can see the details about that specific item. I can delete, edit, and if I go back, I can add a brand new item here, even with image support. So that's how fast. This is truly the no-code approach that we can take here. If that's all we needed was to be able to just view a list of data and have it work seamlessly on the desktop or the mobile and see the details and add, then we have a fully functioning app. But of course, we can take it a step further and start integrating some of that low-code PowerFX programming language. So if I look at the app that was generated here, I have this gallery, which is what this is called, is how we just display a list of tabular data within our Power Apps applications. What if I wanted to see some additional information? So one of the things that we have in these flooring samples is we have a rating. So if I want to show maybe visually on this home screen what that rating is, maybe I want to have a thumbs up if the rating is above a 3 and a thumbs down if it's below a 3. So one, I can use Power FX for that. So I can do an insert, and we have some pre-built icons that we can use. So I can look through here and I can find the thumbs up, but I'm just gonna put in this one because I can dynamically change the icon with this icon property. So I can say icon thumbs up, for example. So there that is. But how do I do that logic where if the rating is above a 3, a thumbs up, and if it's below a thumbs down? Well, we can do some Power FX here on the icon property. So I'm going to use that Excel-like expression of Power FX, and I'm going to do an if statement. I'm going to say if this item.customerRating is greater than or equal to 3, then I want to show icon thumbs up. Otherwise, I want to show icon thumbs down. And you see, as soon as I do that, this is updated. I see most of these are thumbs up, but this one is apparently below a 3 and it's a thumbs down. And that's just a really simple example of how Excel-like and how the Power FX formula language kind of works here in the Power Platform in Power Apps. Another thing I did want to show is just how easy it is to be able to take something that, say, is a number field. So that rating, if I were to add in a label here and change that to customer rating, I just wanted to show how that's actually a string in my Excel, right? It's just a string in a, with a number. What if I wanted to have that be like a star rating, right? Well, Power Apps is smart enough to know if I go to add in input here, we have an input called a rating input. I can put that on the screen, and that gives the traditional star rating that you would expect from something like this. And on its default value, I can use that declarative logic, and I can say if this point that default value to this item dot customer rating. So that's automatically just going to know that, okay, set whatever that string is, fill in this star control accordingly based off of what the number rating is. So that's why it's just so easy to work with and easy to use here. Okay, so now that we've seen a little bit and get a good understanding of how Power Apps works and how fast it is to build an app, let's go back and let's dive into more of that code-first extensibility side of things. Oh, and before I dive into this, we did do a poll on here where I was trying to see like how many people, you know, what are you, code-first devs, or are you more citizen low-code developers? And it looks like the majority of you are code-first devs, so, which is good because you're going to be focusing on a lot of that extensibility. So thanks for participating in that poll there on Learn TV. Okay, so code-first extensibility. Let's see how we can get a little deeper and explore some of the points that are available there in the for the Power Platform. Now, Power Apps specifically, we've touched on a couple of these already, but this shows a great overview of just everything that's possible from an integration standpoint with Power Apps. So we have integrations into the physical and the digital world with things like IoT Edge and Hub. We have those mixed reality components that I mentioned earlier, geospatial mapping, and even HoloLens support. Then we have the AI intelligence solutions integrations we can add with either the out-of-the-box AI builder, those pre-built models, or maybe the pre-built models don't do what you want. You need something a little bit more advanced or more tailored. Then we can integrate with Azure Cognitive Services easily within the Power Platform. And then the own Power Platform tools like Power BI for analytics and reporting and Power Virtual Agents for chatbots and that robotic process automation functionality that's offered through Power Automate. And then when we talk about additional integrations, we have the ability to integrate with GitHub so that we can back up our code and we can have true application lifecycle management. We can integrate with Microsoft Teams. This is a great way to integrate the apps that we build in Power Apps and have that work and be hosted inside of Microsoft Teams with something called Dataverse for Teams. It has something as well called Power Apps Portals. So Power Apps, one thing to know about how they work is they're really intended to be worked and utilized behind the firewall within your Microsoft 365 tenant for the people in your company. What if you need some kind of public-facing anonymous portal that people can get to, but you want to build it using some lower code technology like the Power Platform? We have Power Apps Portals that is really just for that use case there. Of course, we have the connectors that we've talked about so far, over 500 of those. And then API management is another integration point that we're really going to touch on today. But one of the things that really makes leveraging the Power Platform is so appealing from a pro dev standpoint is that you really don't have to learn any new tools. The developer tooling that Power Apps utilizes shares some common frameworks like React. So you can use that tooling that you're already familiar with, and you can use stuff like VS Code and Visual Studio Code to develop and extend Power Apps in the Power Platform. If you know TypeScript, for example, we have something called the Power Apps Component Framework. So why Power Apps has tons of default controls that you can add in to be able to build your application, there might be a very niche or special control that you need to be able to add to it. Like maybe you need a special mapping control or whatever it might be, or special rating control. We can use TypeScript in the Power Apps Component Framework to build those controls and add those into the applications that we build. And then, of course, integrating with APIs and command line tooling. So it can really make it feel like, you know, a true application development experience with all of the ProDev extensions that we offer. With the command line tooling, there's recently been a ton of work with that to kind of consolidate what we have and make it even more streamlined. So with the Power Apps CLI, we can debug our apps, we can have solutions, package those up, do our dev pipelines. We can even export the code from the Canvas application. So that flooring sample, that app that we just built in Power Apps, we can actually run the CLI tooling and unpack that code and edit it in Visual Studio. So if we didn't want to open it up in the Power Apps Canvas apps experience, maybe we needed to make a mass change, like changing the logo in the application throughout 50 screens or some kind of text, we can do that easily with the pack and unpack capability that the Power Apps CLI gives us. So lots of ability to integrate and extend there. And then if we take it even further and we talk about Dataverse, because we briefly talked about that there in the beginning, but that is a database specifically for the Power Platform that we can use if we want to. So, and if we choose to use that and store our data inside of Dataverse, that itself has an API that we can call and work with. So it has standard data operations. It supports transaction and transactional and bulk operations. We can do automated deployments and solutioning, custom messages, and of course, integrate with the API within any other applications we're building to pull data in and put data into Dataverse in the underlying database of the Power Platform. And when we're talking about Dataverse, it actually runs on Azure itself. So when we're talking about how it works, so again, that's what the Power Platform, Power Apps, Power Automate, Virtual Agents, and Power BI use and are hosted on. But it uses a load balancer behind the scenes to scale the requests across several compute services. So has for handling open OData requests, Azure jobs for asynchronous, all of that stuff. And then it supports a variety of storage as well. So if we can pull data into the Dataverse and put it out, and it supports everything from relational data like SQL to blob storage for image and files to Cosmos, non-relational type data, and Data Lake for big data. So all of that is supported within Dataverse. And of course, the extending it with things like Azure Functions, Event Hubs, Service Bus, Kubernetes, and all of that. Now, another thing that it offers to make it feel like a true, you know, application development tool here is something called environment variables. And really, that's just the Power Platform's way of giving us the ability to have a config file when we're packaging up the solutions that we build on the Power Platform. So we can migrate these application configurations, and we can use configurable input parameters here inside of all of our different types of Power Apps or our Power Automate workflows that we built. And we can update values without having to modify the components directly. So we can have that config file and make a seamless experience for moving our applications from dev, test, or prod and into other tenants. And then we're talking about the application lifecycle here. There's support for the entire process from building using Visual Studio Code or VS Code, to testing and validation using the command line tooling that we talked about, to being able to check in your source control with continued automated deployments and deploying inside of your organization and distributing across. So it does support the lifecycle like we would expect from enterprise-grade solutions that we're building. Okay, so did a lot of talking. Now that we kind of understand the everything that we can do from command line tooling to custom controls and just what's possible from extending Power Apps, let's get into really the heart of what I wanted to talk about, and that's how we can integrate with APIs. Okay, so when we talk about integrating with APIs, that is done through something called connectors. Connectors are what allows the Power Platform to integrate with other services. So it's just a wrapper around an API used to communicate between the service and the Power Platform. And as we mentioned before, there are over 500 built-in connectors right now. So these connectors, and new ones are added each month. So there's just a blog article the other day about, I believe, 5 more new connectors added. So these can be connectors to be able to consume information from Microsoft services like SharePoint and OneDrive, Dynamics, and Azure, as well as third-party services like Salesforce, Box, WordPress, MailChimp, just to name a few. But beyond this, and where the real power comes in, is the ability to create custom connectors and even connect to on-prem data with the on-prem data gateway that you can set up. So we're actually able to create our own custom connectors to other APIs, Azure Functions, stuff like that, and be able to consume that inside of Power Apps, Power Automate, and it works across all of those different Power Platform products. So you build it once, one connector, and it can be used in a Power Automate Flow, in a Power Apps Canvas app, or even Power Virtual Agents. So why use these custom connectors? Well, many reasons. It's because it provides the building block for citizen developers to be able to consume that data. It unlocks data silos. You can use it to augment and extend legacy applications. So if there's something that you need to add to a legacy app that's just going to take too much time, or you've just been in the backlog forever and you don't have time for it, you can expose your API via a custom connector to the Power Platform and create a simple Canvas application to handle that piece of the functionality. And again, this works with Logic Apps, Power Automate, and Power Apps. You build it once and you can use it across all of those. When we talk about connectors, it is important to understand the difference between a connector and a connection. The connector is what knows about the web API's host and the operation details. The connection, on the other hand, is what we use and to know the credentials and has a reference to the connector that facilitates the communication with the web API. So you create the connector itself, and then the person creating the citizen dev, creating the Power Apps application, per se, would create a connection to your connector to handle the credentials and the authentication. And it looks another poll that we had. I noticed, thanks for participating in that on Learn there. Most attendees looks like you've used Power Platform. So that's great. So I'm glad that you are using it or plan on using it. So glad to hear. Custom connectors now. So now we know why we would use them. How do you actually create one? So that's what we're going to get into next. There are a few different ways. Power Apps offers kind of an in out of the box experience there to be able to build those where you can manually point it to your endpoints and all that and your actions and your security and stuff. But the easiest way by far is by integrating that with OpenAPI and importing via an OpenAPI file, URL, or even Azure APIM, which we'll talk about in a second. So OpenAPI, what exactly is that? Just to level set. So OpenAPI, formerly known as Swagger, is just an API description format for REST APIs. It's a contract for those. Gives the consuming app what it needs to understand and communicates with the APIs without really having to know where it's located and all of that. So when using that OpenAPI document to describe the web API, it gives the ability for the consumer to understand and communicate with that with really minimal effort. And a custom connector can be created for any web API as long as it's properly described by an OpenAPI document. So definitely the best way to integrate within the Power Platform. As far as how we generate these open API documents, probably the most popular way is Swashbuckle to generate that from your ASP.NET Core web apps. It generates the open API doc on the fly. It includes everything you need, like the API endpoint details, payload structures, and security requirements and all of that. So why use these open API documents and open API for custom connectors? Well, it removes dependencies and it increases agility. So it kind of decouples everything. So how it would look on the back end, you have your Power App, you have the custom connector, which is what the Power App uses to talk to the service. That custom connector talks to your open API document, which is decoupled from your web API itself.